Good morning, congregation. A warm welcome to any visitors who are joining us this morning, and also to those who are watching or listening online. The council has the following announcement. Joining us at the table this morning will be Kitty Vandermeer of the Fellowship Canadian Reformed Church at Burlington, Ontario. And the song of approach this morning is Psalm 100, stanza 1 and 2.
All who are able, please rise. Shout for joy to God, our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine, play the melodious harp and lyre. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. The myriads of angels, all the company of heaven and the church on earth, let us worship the Lord. Brothers and sisters, where do we find our help? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Receive his greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue praising our God with the stanzas 3 and 4 of Psalm 100.
Thank you.
will now listen to the 10 words of God's covenant law and respond afterwards by singing stanza 2 of Psalm 130. Our God, who has saved us in Christ, declares these words to us: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animal, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us the law in summary in Matthew 22 as follows: Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so love of God and our neighbor is the fulfilling of the law. Let us now come to our God in prayer. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Lord our God, we humbly acknowledge and confess before your holy majesty that we are poor, miserable sinners. We were conceived and born in guilt and in corruption. And we are prone to do evil and unable of ourselves to do any good. And we continually transgress your holy commandments. Because of this, we deserve your just condemnation. But, O Lord, with a humble heart we repent, and we confess our rebellious ways. We condemn ourselves and our evil ways and ask you to be gracious to us and hear our prayer. Have compassion on us, merciful Lord, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Wash us, O Lord, from all our sins, and accept us as those for whom your Son died and rose again, defeating sin in us and for us. Strengthen us this day by your word and spirit. Inscribe your word on our hearts. Impart the wisdom, understanding, and truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Strengthen us also through the sacrament of the Holy Supper. O Lord, we do not presume to come to your table trusting in our own righteousness, for we are not even worthy of gathering the crumbs from under your table, let alone to be fed with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We only come because of your great mercy towards us. O Lord, you have done great things for us in Jesus Christ. We are filled with joy. And so we thank you that we may celebrate your love and grace to us this morning, that we may celebrate your victory over sin, your victory over death, and the glory of your kingdom, which is coming. And so this morning, as we gather, we open wide our mouths, O Lord. We are hungry for your word. We are hungry for the bread of life, our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us now open Holy Scripture in the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 3, from which our text comes this morning that we will be considering at the Lord's table. And then we will also read in the New Testament from Revelation 14, the verses 1 through 5. So we turn first to Joshua chapter 3. See, there seems to be an unnecessary addition in the liturgy sheet that we're singing a psalm after the reading, but we will not be singing this psalm. Joshua 3. And at the table we will be considering especially the verses 3 and 4. Hear the word of God fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now we turn in the New Testament to Revelation 14. And read the verses 1 through 5. "Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless." We'll now proceed to the ministry of the Word and sacraments at the table. And so we will read the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And if you wish to follow along, that is in the Book of Praise on page 592 and following. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 23 through 29. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely, to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him, only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner. All who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way. All who do not diligently attend the worship services, and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments. All who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them. All who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him. All who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure. All who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life. All liars, backbiters, and slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelievers by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts. As if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith. We do not serve God with such zeal as He requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let us now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted His Supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of Him. We are to remember Him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world, according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that He assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life on earth, He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By His perfect obedience, He has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of Him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There He was bound, that He might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults, that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, He was condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let His blessed body be nailed to the cross, that He might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, He has taken our curse upon Himself, that He might fill us with His blessing. On the cross, He humbled Himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then He called out with a loud voice, my God, why have You forsaken Me? That we might be accepted by God and never more be forsaken by Him. Finally, by His death and the shedding of His blood, He confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when He said, "It is finished." In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during His last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to His disciples in remembrance of Him, and He declared, saying, "As often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you are reminded and assured of My hearty love and faithfulness towards you. It is a sure pledge that I have given My body and shed My blood for you. Otherwise, you would have suffered eternal death. I nourish and refresh your hungry and thirsty souls with My crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As certainly as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink in remembrance of Me." From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that He directs our faith and trust to His perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation. Thereby He has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by His death, He has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as His members, we have true communion with Him and share in all His riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. As one bread is baked out of many grains, and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body, to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed as they are set to music in hymn 1. Let us stand to sing that. at the table this morning. We also welcome the Chinese brothers and sisters who are communicant members of the Chinese Reformed Church to the table this morning, those of them who are with us. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Let us now sing hymn 59, the Lord's Supper hymn. So this morning at the table we give attention to God's word in Joshua 3. Now we'll read again the first four verses of Joshua 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. And this is the word that is preached to you. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, there are times in our lives when we're not sure where things are leading, which direction they're going, when we have to make decisions about what we're going to do next, when new challenges arise that we'd never encountered before, both personally and communally. For example, what should we do about the present elementary school situation? How can we as a church more effectively bring the good news of Jesus Christ into our communities and neighborhoods in an ever-changing contemporary society and culture? Then there are also the issues that we face in our wider world that place new and unprecedented challenges before us. I'm sure you can think of many examples. For example, the growing threats of jihadist terrorism, climate change, crime rates, the spread of new diseases and poverty. How should we, as active and caring citizens of our country and of our world, how should we view these issues? And how should we engage faithfully with them in a responsible and loving way? There may also be things happening in our personal lives and relationships that we've never encountered before. New challenges that we face in raising our children, in dealing with a diagnosis of serious sickness, in choosing or changing a job or career, in tackling a problem at work or at home that we have no previous experience with. New challenges in growing up or in growing old. Well, brothers and sisters, the people of Israel were in that sort of situation before they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. God had brought them out of Egypt 40 years before, and they had been wandering through the desert ever since then. But now the moment had arrived that they had all been waiting so long for, the moment to enter the Promised Land. The problem was that they had never been this way before. What was in store for them? How were they all to get across the Jordan River, which was at flood stage? You know, it was one thing for a couple of men to get across, as the spies had just done, as we read in chapter 2. But to get across the river with hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children, the whole nation of Israel, and all the animals and everything else they had with them, while the river was at flood stage, how in the world were they going to do that? Sure, they had crossed the Red Sea 40 years ago, and that surely gave them hope. But now there was the additional challenge of entering a land where they would face the hostile enemies, and where they'd have to find places to settle and live. They were entering a land where there were so many unknowns, so many challenges that they had never faced before. The best thing for them to do initially, apparently, was to settle down. Settle down. Notice in verse 1 that when it was time to set out for the big crossing, Joshua and all the Israelites didn't just immediately cross over. Joshua didn't say, okay, it's time to go, here we go. No, they left Shittim, where they had been staying for a while. Shittim was about a kilometer and a half from the Jordan River. So they left Shittim, and then they camped at the riverside on the banks of the Jordan River for 3 days. You can just imagine everything that's involved in moving such a huge crowd of men, women, and children, a whole nation, and everything they had with them. And all that had to be planned. It had to be organized. It had to be arranged. And God made accommodations for that. God saw fit to give them the time to sort things out before the big crossing. Time to get themselves ready for the next big step. Well, brothers and sisters, the Lord's Supper is a reminder that such is our God. Such is our God. He gives us a camping spot by the river of the water of life that is flowing from the throne of God. He gives us time to catch our breath. He gives us time to take a deep breath. He gives us time to listen to His voice in the face of new challenges. He gives us time to wait for His direction and guidance for the next stage of our journey with Him, for the next challenge. He gives us time to sort out our human, sometimes unsettled, disorganized, even chaotic lives in His secure, loving, gracious presence. We'll eat together after the bread has been distributed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sin. We'll drink together after the cups have been distributed. Cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us sing at this table a song that is always good to sing on the journey that God is taking us. Psalm 43, the stanzas, Psalm 43, stanza 3. So after 3 days of camping out on the shore of the flood stage, swollen, rushing Jordan River, the officers went throughout the camp and told the people, were told. They told the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Now remember, God used the ark to guide his people through the wilderness. Whenever Moses directed the priests and the Levites to take up the ark and move to another place, the people of Israel followed. The ark was the symbol of God's presence. The ark was there so God's people knew that God was there with them. Where the ark went, God's people were to follow. You see, brothers and sisters, God gives us rest, like he did the Israelites on the shore of the Jordan River. But when he calls us to action, when he tells us it's time to move out from our positions and follow him, we must get up and go. Our Lord Jesus tells us to come to him and find rest for our souls. But then he also tells us to get up and follow him wherever he is leading. When it says in our text that they needed to move out of their positions, that literally means they needed to be uprooted. To move out of the place where they had just settled, where they were just getting comfortable. And that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? In fact, sometimes it's downright terrifying, especially when there's a swollen, rapid, flowing, impassable river between you and your destination. When there are what seem to be insurmountable obstacles. God gave the ark as a visible sign of his presence, a visible sign that he was leading them, that he was chalking out the way. And all he asked the people to do was to keep their eye on the ark and follow. This morning, Jesus gives us a sign of his presence. He gives us the sign of his crucified body and shed blood. As terrified and intimidated as we might be by what seem to be impassable obstacles, he tells us, keep your eyes fixed on me. You might feel uncomfortable. You might feel like you're being uprooted. But you need to move out from your position and follow me. I'm going ahead of you. I've overcome, Jesus says to us, I've overcome every obstacle that you might encounter along the way already. Even death itself. And my victory is also yours. We'll eat together after the bread has been distributed. we'll drink together after the wine has been distributed. Right. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Now we will drink together after the cups have been distributed. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us sing at this table hymn 80, stanza 5.
Thank you.
my brothers and sisters, including you, children and young people, if the ark was a sign of God's presence, then we have the question, the obvious question, in a way, if we're reading carefully, why did the officers tell the people to keep their distance from it? Why did they say, follow the ark, but stay far away from it? The officers told them, actually, to keep a distance of 2,000 cubits, 1,000 yards. So it's just under a kilometer, 900 meters. They had to keep a distance of about 900 meters between themselves and the ark. Why was that? Well, I believe there are three main reasons. In the first place, the ark represented God's holy presence. The people needed to remember that the God who was taking them into the promised land is a holy God. And he is to be worshipped and revered with awe and wonder. He is great. He is holy. He dwells in unapproachable light. But there's another reason. At this distance, if you can imagine, the whole nation of Israel crossing over the Jordan, hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children, and everything they had. At this distance, everyone, and not just the people at the front of the convoy, would be able to see the ark. It would be within eyeshot. Ironically, the distance between the people and the ark ensured that the ark remained visible to everyone. And there's a third reason. It would be clear, with the ark far ahead above the people, it would be clear to everyone who was leading whom. God was leading. God was making a way for his people, as he had at the Red Sea, and as he would continue to do in the future. God was leading his people, not the other way around. It wasn't the people telling God which way they wanted to go. It was God saying, this is the way we're going. And also, it was clear then that God didn't need their protection. Rather, he protected them. God was not letting himself be steered by their whims. Rather, he was directing them along the path of his will. Brothers and sisters, the bread that we eat this morning comes from heaven. That's what Jesus says in John 6. The bread that we eat this morning comes from heaven. But the fact that it comes from heaven, so far away we might think, means that all who look to the God of heaven in faith will be fed. All who seek the God of heaven will find him near. He is not far away, but has drawn near in the flesh and blood of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So have you never been this way before? Are you wondering about that new situation in your life, in the church, in the school, in the world, at work, wherever? That new situation with your health, with your family? Never been that way before? That's okay. Your God is leading you. Do not let new challenges or obstacles paralyze or discourage you. Face them, embrace them, rejoice in them, even the hardest ones, God is at hand to lead you, to save you, to show you the way. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, as God told Joshua. Look, look, the Lamb of God. Look at Him and follow Him wherever He goes. And He will lead you where you never would have arrived on your own. You will arrive before the throne of God in heaven. Amen. We will eat after the bread has been distributed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us now sing together stanza 6 of hymn 80, where we rejoice in the fact that God guides His own, also us, to His heavenly throne.
Thank you.
beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, now that the Lord has now nourished us at his table, let us together praise his name with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us now come to our God in prayer. Merciful God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity to partake of the supper of your Son, Jesus Christ. By eating of the bread and drinking of the cup, and so proclaiming the death of our Lord as the only ground of our salvation, we praise you that you give us the privilege to rejoice in the communion of your Son, as well as in the fellowship with one another. We also earnestly ask you that we, being strengthened in faith by the celebration of this sacrament, may bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Cause us to show in our life our heartfelt love toward you and toward each other. Grant that with ardent expectation we may await the return of our Savior, who promised that he would drink with us of the fruit of the vine in the kingdom of his Father. Gracious God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us. We thank you that in this past week our brother Art Grimm could go for open heart surgery, and that by all accounts everything went well. We thank you that our brother is recovering in the hospital and hopes to be able to come home tomorrow. We give thanks to you, O Lord, for your goodness to our brother and to his wife Mary and their children and grandchildren. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless his recovery and grant him a good and healthy life for many years to come. Gracious God, we also pray for our brother and sister Ron and Hester Santima. Father, be near them and lay your blessing on the chemotherapy treatment of this past week. Uphold and strengthen them too, day by day, by your grace and your Holy Spirit. Lord, we also give thanks to you that our sister Marina Lauder could come home, and that also some good news could be heard this past week. And Father, we pray that you would continue to be near her and us as a family, that you would surround us with your grace and care, and that every day you would provide us with all that we need for each day. Also, as we await what lies ahead. Father, we pray that you would help us all to continue to place our trust in you in all the circumstances of our lives, in all the new challenges that you place before us, both in sickness and in health, in all the obstacles that we face. O Lord, we place ourselves in your hands. We look to you, and we are determined to follow your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to follow the Lamb of God wherever he goes. And we know that when we do that, we will arrive safely in your kingdom. Not only that, but we will also be kept safe and secure in your hands every step of the way. Lord, we also pray for your blessing on the evangelist proposal that has been distributed to the congregation. We thank you for the hard work of the evangelism committee over many years. And we pray for your blessing upon this proposal. We pray that you would guide us as a congregation and as council and evangelism committee as we consider this proposal, as we mull it over, as we reflect upon it. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant your direction and your guidance and your help. O Lord, we give thanks to you for this day. We pray that you would continue to bless us and grant us your grace. Grant that we may rejoice in you, that we may rejoice in each other, that we may encourage and build each other up, and that we may go forward rejoicing in you every day. To you, Father, be all glory, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we now have the opportunity to bring our offerings of thanksgiving to the Lord. After the deacons have collected these offerings, let us stand and sing as our parting hymn, hymn 62. Brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of your triune God and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.